Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men from Mars, Women from Venus, and you're listening to the Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Kick-Ass.
Whoa, that's Kick-Ass.
Welcome.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is your host, David T.S. Wood. And oh, what a gorgeous day. I can't believe it. Blue sky. And the lake is looking incredibly inviting. And very, very filled with gratitude today. Obviously, I've just finished a long trip to Australia and had just a blast, had a great, great time. And it's funny, you know, because today's show is all about the power, sort of unleashing the power of goal setting. And so for some of you listening in, you know, you're already great goal setters. And hopefully you're going to learn one thing or two things that will amplify your understanding around the whole idea of goal setting and also allow you to really sort of step it up to lead an even more kick-ass life. So, you know, to be able to really do something really incredible. And sometimes we miss small things. We start with the whole goal setting thing and we miss those small nuances or distinctions that will allow us to really take it to a whole other level and sort of move from the dream world into the attaining world, you know, and I think for some of you that are goal setters, again, you know, listen very, very carefully and look for that one thing. Say, you know, that's one thing I can add to what I'm already doing for that sort of amplification, right? And those of you that don't, this may be a show you want to revisit when you have a pen and paper as well. But if you're exercising right now or driving or you're washing the dishes or, you know, maybe you're sharing this with a husband and wife and you're walking on the beach, holding hands, I can see you, then don't worry, just listen to it. And then make sure you say, you know, well, let's go home and do the work. Make sure tonight I'll do this work and I'll go through these specific steps so that we can really turn our dreams into a reality and not be one of those people like my mother who says things like this, you know, when I win the lottery. So let's just a little tribute to my mom. Here we go. That was the Cranberries. And, you know, I want to start today with looking at an interview that Oprah did with Jim Carrey. And I don't know if you know Jim Carrey's story or not, but Jim Carrey has a remarkable story in the sense that, you know, as a struggling comedian and sort of trying to battle his way through, you know, the complexities of becoming an actor, he once drove his old, I think it was a Toyota truck, to the top of Mulholland Drive in LA and wrote himself a check and for $10 million for services rendered, acting services rendered. And the rest is history, right? Because he became the highest paid comedian of all time. Now, I'm telling you the story before the story, but I just want you to listen to this interview and sort of see what we can glean so that we can give you a reason to listen more carefully because, you know, it's easy for me to say, hey, you need to set goals. But I want you to listen to people who've set goals and use the power of the mind to achieve great things in the world and great fortunes. You know, today Jim Carrey gets, well, I'm not even sure if it's more than it is now, but, you know, he was the first comedian to reach $20 million a movie. And I really enjoy his movies. I think he's got a lot of range. But he's a lot of practice as well. You know, one thing he did is he put a lot of time in. So let's listen to this interview. And with this, as we listen in, I want you to sort of put yourself inside of this and notice some of the things maybe you're not doing right now to achieve the things you want. Here we go.
In life, everybody around you is a teacher for you. If you're in a bad relationship right now, you are a student of how to have a better relationship. If you're in a bad situation with your boss, that is a teaching situation for you to learn how to get yourself a better boss. Who would have thought in all of the years of The Oprah Show that Jim Carrey would be one of our greatest teachers? Obviously, you knew somewhere inside yourself that you were destined to be famous, because I think it's a really a marvelous thing, that visualization thing you did. Do y'all read about this or hear this? That you used to go up on Mulholland Drive and park
every night
and visualize seeing yourself as...
I would visualize
when you were broke and poor. You
know, right, having directors interested in me and people that I respected saying, you know, I like your work or whatever that is. And I would visualize things coming to me that I wanted or whatever.
This was in like 1987, 85?
Yeah. And I had nothing at that time. So it was like, but it just made me feel better. It made me, at that time, all it really was for me was kind of making me feel better. I would drive home and think, well, I do have these things. And they're out there. I just don't have a hold of them yet, but they're out there.
Okay. So you would get this from what? Self-help books or whatever?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Self-help section.
Self-help section.
They've renamed it the Jim Carrey wing.
So didn't you write yourself a check? I heard that you did. Is that true?
I wrote myself a check for $10 million for acting services rendered, and I gave myself 5 years, or 3 years maybe, and I dated it Thanksgiving 1995. And I put it in my wallet, and I kept it there, and it deteriorated and deteriorated and stuff. But then just before Thanksgiving 1995, I found out that I was going to make $10 million on, I think it was Dumb and Dumber, maybe.
Dumb and Dumber, yeah.
Yeah.
So you visualize yourself like... Visualization works if you work hard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You can't just visualize and then, you know, go eat a sandwich.
I love that. That was such a powerful moment for me, because I was not a person who did visualization or thought about my belief system in such a practical way. But I learned a lot from Jim Carrey on that show, and he is absolutely correct. If you can see it and believe it, it is a lot easier to achieve it. So thank you, Jim, for reminding us of that lesson. And it doesn't mean that for every person that writes the $10 million check that that's going to happen for you, because so many times people who do that process live in the space of wanting and resisting it instead of writing it, visualizing it, seeing it for yourself, and then letting it go. Letting it go, but moving in the direction of working toward it. So nothing happens at first. It's over the process of the time and the effort and the energy that you put into a thing that the energy comes out.
There you go. So as you can tell, I mean, that's Oprah Winfrey and Jim Carrey. What I like about that is that it truly is a, you know, it's a story that we all know. We've all seen him. Imagine this broke artist sitting on top of Mulholland Drive doing the visualizations. It wasn't one visualization. The check is a story that everyone knows about. However, you know, he really gave away a big clue there, the actions that he takes. He says you can't just write the check and go eat a sandwich. You know, and that's where a lot of people get lost, is doing the right things in the direction of their dreams and goals, right? And so, you know, there's and I want to just sort of go through this one real fast. The idea of SMART goals is a great acronym for you to remember. You know, SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. The idea, for example, Jim Carrey, you know, writing a $10 million check is very, very realistic for a guy who's in a profession where earning $10 million from a movie is something that is very, very realistic, you know? So if he was in another type of profession, and I'm sort of at a loss for thinking of one, but a profession where, you know, earning $10 million within 3 years is just totally, it's just not possible because of the volume. So for example, if I was running a daycare and I had written, you know, $10 million from running the daycare in my living room. That may be sort of so unrealistic and out of whack that it's just not going to happen. But the specific part, you know, just think of the who, the what, the where, the when, the which, the why. Who's involved? What do I do to accomplish it? Where was it going to happen? What location? When? You know, establish the time frame. Which? Identify the requirements and constraints and why. Specific reasons, purpose, or benefits for accomplishing the goal, right? And I'm not going to move away from the SMART part, and let's go into sort of a deep dive into sort of goal setting or unleashing the power of goal setting. And as we do that, though, I'm going to have one more song so I can center myself this beautiful morning here as I bask in the glow of my return from Australia. And one thing maybe I should share with you, you have to understand, when I arrived in this country, I live in Canada, I arrived with a backpack and a guitar, having backpacked for 10 and a half years. And, you know, today, I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy journey in the sense of realizing what I'm capable of today and the power which my mind has been sculpted. And again, whether it's financial or impact, because I look at my impact as always being driving what I do in the world, the impact of reach, you know, being able to afford the time to be able to put out free shows all the time, and have done so with one of my shows, with the Kick-Ass Life, for 300 and so many shows. I can't remember exactly how many it is right now. And my new show, Amplified Network Marketing, you know, just being able to afford the time to be able to serve in the way that I feel is one thing. But then with that, it's, you know, I'm a lot of people get stuck there in the service realm where they're just serving from the heart and they want to contribute, which I do in the highest levels, whether it's raising money for charities or whether it's dreaming up a new area of my life that can have greater impact, because again, that's what I'm looking for. For me, everything I do is around impact. And I remember I set a sort of a vision statement for myself about 10 years ago, and this is before I was doing any kind of work on stage, and it was to reach, teach, and inspire people to break through fear, embrace change, and live in their higher selves. So to reach, teach, and inspire people to break through their fear, embrace change, and live in their higher self. And that became the sort of the benchmark of every goal I set. Everything I did in the world had to sort of come back under that umbrella. Was I reach, teaching, and inspiring people to break through their fears, embrace change, and live in a higher self, have greater impact in their world, right? And of course, that's refined over the years. But when I think about what I started out with, and how much I was earning when I first came to this city. I've come back here. I didn't live here all this time. When I got off the bus and decided that Canada was going to be my home, with my backpack and my guitar, I was earning $4 an hour as a waiter, $4 an hour as a waiter, in that time frame. And this is around 1990, 1991. I think of the journey. I mean, was that 2014, right? It's not really that long ago. Was it 24 years ago? So a quarter of my life, let's say, if I'm enthusiastic about living to 100 plus. But when I think today, you know, I think the highest day in my daily income, and again, I don't share this to impress, but to share with you the idea of the difference of me expanding my philosophies and my mindset to a point where, you know, I suppose my highest daily income today has been about $500,000, and the highest month today has been just shy of $2 million. But I just recently just set a new goal of $10 million. And then what I have to do is ask the question, you know, who do I have to become and what do I have to do to have a $10 million month, right? And why not? And what I did when I set my vision board was 100 million lives impacted. So actually I started with impact, and then without the monetization part, which is can be challenging for people who live from their heart, right? It can be a challenging process. Oh, that's my alarm. That's a challenging process. But the challenge for that is to monetize, is to say it's okay to make a lot of money and have a great impact, because one in some ways begets the other. With a greater financial ability, there's a greater possibility to do more, because you can build a stronger team, you can build better systems, you can have greater reach, you know, you can create environments that are transformational just by the very environment is said, right? So let's talk about the power of goal setting. So if you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energy, and inspires your hopes. Andrew Carnegie. So I say that again because I know some of you write stuff down, right? If you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energy, and inspires your hopes. So once you know your life purpose, then and determine your vision and clarify what your true needs and desires are, you have to convert them into these specific, measurable goals and objectives. And then the bit about not eating a sandwich, you know, we've got to act on them with certainty that you're going to achieve them. So, but this whole life purpose, this is where I started with that kind of statement, reach, teach, and inspire people to break through, you know, their fears, embrace change, and live in their highest selves. At that point, you know, I was a business guy, and I sort of had something go wrong in my life. I some of you have heard the story, but I emceed a wedding that went horrifically wrong. And, you know, the whole groom side of the family left the wedding and didn't come to the party afterwards. And I was just completely humiliated by what I'd done and ashamed. And, you know, I left the country and I lived in exile in my mind for years. And so, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, it ended up becoming a catalyst of everything I did. I now do, but it would be very, very easy for my life to get stuck there, and it really did get stuck for a number of years, where I wasn't able to earn any significant income or do anything meaningful in the world because I was so ashamed of what had happened. I just stayed in that moment. What ended up happening was it became a catalyst of transformation, not only for me, but for the work I do, because of the pain. Because of the pain, I had the experience to say, look, I want to overcome this. And it forced me into a journey that forced me to expand myself and my thinking and the possibilities, not only for me, but for my family and everything with it, right? So experts on the science of success know that the brain is a goal-seeking organism. So whatever goal you give it, into your subconscious mind, it's going to work night and day to achieve it. And I truly believe this with all my heart, because, you know, now, I mean, I had lunch with a friend of mine, Beth, the other day, and we were having lunch, and I set her a vision of something I'm working on right now. And she said, how did you get to think so big? And we've been friends for 25 years. So she knew me when I was broke. In fact, I ended up living on her couch, actually on her floor. I met her at a meeting and I had no money. I'm traveling across the country with a buddy of mine, Brian. And I talked her into letting us stay at her house. She had this tiny one bedroom apartment. And so, and once she agreed to let me stay there, I let her know that I have a friend with me. And so Brian slept on the couch. I slept on the floor between the very, very tiny living room and the bedroom. And so I could see her with my head. I'd be able to see her in bed, and I could see Brian on the couch, and we would have these three-way conversations. So she saw me starting out. And so now some of the things I throw out to her are just so vast in the thinking of the possibility of what we can do in this world and how we can mobilize not only my own energies, but the energies of others to achieve great things, right? So how much by when? I mean, this idea, you know, of being very specific, we just talked about, to make sure a goal unleashes the power of the subconscious mind, it's got to meet those two criteria. It's got to be stated in a way that anyone else could measure it. And this is really important that anyone else can measure it, not you. So a lot of people say, look, I want to lose, you know, 20 pounds, you know, it's just not powerful. There's no energy in there. But if you said, look, I want to weigh 135 pounds by 5 p.m. on June 30th, the second is not only clearer because but it's something that somebody else could wander in at that exact time and look at the scale. And either you're going to be 135 pounds or not, right? And so, the sort of how much, it could be pages, how many pounds you're going to lose, you know, how many dollars, how many square feet, or how many points by when, which is a specific time and date, right? So you want to be as specific as possible. You want to include the make, the model, the color, the year, the features. That's what a vision board's great for. I mean, when my vision board is quite large, that sits in my bathroom. And I notice as I'm looking at it that can be quite general and specific. So, you know, on there in four different places, it says 100 million lives impacted, but it also says $100 million. So there's two very, very big numbers sitting on there. And I remember when I first put it down there, I felt a little queasy. And I also... I kind of, when other people look at my vision board, I feel a little embarrassed actually, you know, having such a large number on there. And I realize now as I've got sort of $10 million a month goals that it's kind of like, wow, that's 10 months, right? It's just become a very different philosophy in my head. But I remember how I struggled with it personally and it seemed crazy. But this idea of being very, very specific, the size, the weight, the shape, the form, and to remember this, and this may be worth writing down if you do have a pen, is that sort of vague goals will produce vague results, and so the idea then we go to going from a good idea to a goal, and if I give you some ideas of that. So I'm gonna like I want to own a nice home by the lake, and so I live on a lake in Kelowna. I mean, that is quite vague, but I'm going to own a 7,500 square foot home on Lake Okanagan by, from May, 2013, let's say, but then it may be even more specific than that. You know, I want to own a 7,500 square foot home on the lake that offers me an opportunity to have an office that is large enough for me to have great meetings and be inspirational enough to be able to have creativity, to be inspired every single time I sit in this office that's separate enough from the house that will allow me the freedom to be able to close a door and really focus on contribution. Yet, when I go back down the stairs to be involved heavily with my family, so to be able to create an island within a home, which is really one of the things I specifically wanted with sort of creating and finding a new home. And you have to understand, you know, I had a very, very specific mind of what I wanted. And then all we did was jump in the car. I didn't even call a real estate agent. I jumped in the car and we just got back from Africa. And I proposed to Jen and I said, look, you know, it's time for us to get a home together. And we wrote a very specific list of things that we both required. And it created a picture of exactly what we wanted. And the freedom for space in the sense of you know, having children, having two companies running from a home where, you know, we can, it's not overlapping into our family life, is that we can have a very separate experience. Very, very important, right? But then, you know, that scared the life out of me. So there's one, you know, I want to lose weight. You know, I will weigh 185 pounds by 5 p.m. January, you know, 1st, 2016, right? I need to treat my employees better. That's sort of a good idea. I'll acknowledge a minimum of 6 employees for their contribution to the department by 5 p.m. this Friday. Now, again, the idea of specificity is one of these things where, again, when we look at Jim Carrey, we get to see that, you know, he was very, very specific. And because of that specificity, right, there's a very, very clear thing that happened to him. Not only did he achieve his goal, he exceeded his goal. You know, there's me here. You see, I have to, because I work the soundboard and I do the show at the same time. I don't edit. I've done that twice now. I forgot my volume is on. So as I'm setting up a song and talking to you at the same time, and I'm cooking breakfast, obviously, with my left hand, I'm painting the ceiling. I'm just kidding, right? I just want to sort of really get clear on that, the how specific Jim Carrey was. $10 million by Thanksgiving 2005 for services rendered for acting. That's a very, very specific time frame. And just a month shy of that, he was offered $10 million for Dumber and Dumber. And what he did, though, is the amount of work. He didn't go and eat a sandwich. He kept moving every single day in the direction of his dreams. He kept visualizing clearly, meeting the right people, and he kept putting himself in the way of an opportunity like that, in the way of a $10 million deal. And he kept practicing. He spent hundreds of hours, thousands of hours, so building his muscle, his facial contortions, his body movements. They weren't accidental. He wasn't born with those. He worked at them, right? So then we got to write them out in detail. Okay. It's like writing specifications for a work order. And we got to get, you know, imagine putting a request in, if you believe in God, into your God, and you were saying, this is exactly what I want, or to the universe, if that isn't your language, you know, writing a request to the universe saying, this is exactly what I want, right? Include every detail. You know, and the idea when we write it down, the subconscious mind, and then we talk about unleashing the power of goal setting, but this is where it sort of unleashes, right? Your subconscious mind will know what to work on. It'll know which opportunities to hone into to help you reach your goal. And the power of that, you know, is if you know how the RAS works, the reticular activating system, the RAS is constantly scouring our surroundings, because there's 400 billion bits of information coming at you in every second in your non-conscious mind, in your subconscious mind. But your conscious mind is only processing 2,000 bits. So there's a thing called a RAS. I like to liken it to the security detail of the president scouring the, you know, the scouring for bad things or terrorists. Well, what your RAS is doing is scouring for what you think about constantly. So if you're constantly looking at $10 million ideas that you want to create, right? Your mind, your RAS is going to be constantly scouring around. But if you're constantly focused on bills and what's going wrong, and you're constantly filling your head with negativity through the news or reading newspapers all the time, which I just think is just a terrible way to live your life. I mean, yeah, you can find out what's going on, but imagine every day putting negative crap into your head. Now, I wonder why people feel shitty and so many people wander around with long faces, right? So again, when you write it down, your subconscious mind will know what to work on. It'll know which opportunities to hone into to help you reach your goals, right? And then we need to sort of have goals, again, that stretch us and turn our dreams into realities. When I dream, dream.
Star shines so bright, you're the queen of my night, in the daytime not quite, but I'm
so again, we want to look at dreams that really stretch. And I love that word stretch, because that's what I found is the person I was when I slept on the floor at Beth's house is just a completely different human being. I mean, there's just, I had none of these concepts in my head. I didn't understand the power that I had. I didn't understand that I was all powerful and that I had this kind of magic power that could achieve and bring to me anything. I mean, imagine that word. Imagine me how to say, look, whatever it is I want, I can have as long as I'm clear enough. And I start to use these philosophies, right? So you're going to need a goal that really stretches you out. And again, with that, you're going to write down some big ones that will stretch you. And it pays to have goals that will require you to grow to achieve them. Because I think back to what happened with Harv Eker. You know, here I am. I've been living in exile in my mind for 3 years. And then what happened, of course, I get to this event and Harv Eker's there and I'm watching this guy on stage and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, I know there's that wonderful saying that says, you know, the two most important days you're born, the two most important days of your life, the day you're born and then the day you discover why. But this idea that I was so struck by what Harv was doing, I went up to him and I said, look, you know, I'd love to teach this program. I'd never been on stage. I wasn't a trainer. I had no idea. I mean, I was a business guy, right? And I was in a marriage that was failing, you know, and I was sort of, you know, just struggling a little bit through life. You know, it wasn't going as easy as I wanted. I certainly wasn't making the kind of money I thought I deserved. But here is this moment shows up and I'm in pain from, you know, my mind was telling me I would never, ever stand in front of a room again because I messed up this wedding. And here I am saying to this guy who, you know, was quite intimidating and who just written a best-selling New York Times bestseller. And I'm saying, hey, I want to teach this program. And he's like, yeah, of course you do, buddy. Everyone does, you know. And then I started to set really specific goals. I knew exactly what program I wanted to teach and I knew exactly when I wanted to teach there. Teach the program. And I did everything in my power to move towards that. And even in the face of Harv telling me, listen, it's never going to happen. You're never, ever going to teach this program. And it was a year later that I taught that program. And I just got myself ready, you know, and I just would not be denied. And even though Harv sat me down, we were outside in Calgary at this, you know, beautiful resort where we were running a camp called Wizard. And he said, look, Dave, it's just not going to happen. You know, you're not the kind of guy I want to run my programs. And what it was, I was pretty cocky, you know, and I was pretty, by this point, I did 13 personal growth programs in 1 year. And this is where I learned this philosophy of investing in me. And so that is really what is a very, very thing that I try and tell everyone, make yourself the primary investment. Imagine that you could, you sort of put yourself first and you take 10% of your income and invest in you and you become the major priority in your life. And that expansion of the mind and who you are will stretch you out. And then when you set great goals that stretch you as well. I set a goal that was just so far out of both my comfort zone because I had so much fear around speaking in public, but also just the realm of why, you know, it was just like, you know, this crazy thing. So many other people had said it to him. In fact, every event someone said it to him. And I just got ready and got ready and got ready. And one day Harv got sick. And even though he told me I would never do it, I got a call. Can you run a program? And so I flew to New Jersey and I did my first, it was called the Millionaire Mind Intensive, 1600 people. And I was terrified. Anyway, that's a whole other story. I'll get there another time. So, you know, the whole idea about becoming a master in our own life. So to learn new skills, expand your vision of what's possible, build new relationships, learn to overcome fears, and also the considerations and roadblocks that come up. And if we go to another step there, you know, the idea of creating a breakthrough goal, that was a big breakthrough goal for me to be able to sort of, you know, become a trainer with a guy who was running the largest and fastest growing training company in the world. And really hadn't got any other trainers then. There was one guy who was trying out and doing warm-ups for him, but there was no precedent. There was no other trainer who was training for him at that time. So, you know, even the idea that I'm saying, I'm going to start training your programs. And then, you know, I was within, well, I was training suddenly 100,000 people in a year. It's like this crazy thing, complete turnaround in my life. And it forced me, those 13 programs in 1 year, stretched me and expanded who I was in every single area. So, and it allowed me to create a breakthrough goal. And that's another step. A breakthrough goal that would represent a quantum leap for you or your career. See, most goals represent incremental improvements in life. They're like, you know, if you like football, I mean, it's probably not a great analogy for you women, but let's just say football, you know, you'll gain 4 yards in the game. But what if you could come out on the first play and throw a 50-yard pass, right? That would be sort of a quantum leap in progress. And that's what that one moment in time was for me, this idea that I was going to teach these programs. And who knew that it was going to lead down such an incredible road and path? So, you know, some of the breakthrough goals may be, you know, losing a large amount of weight if you're overweight, you know, writing a book or publishing an article, getting on Oprah, winning a gold medal at the Olympics, or creating a killer website. You know, it's interesting because my house guest right now is the incredible Nat Cook. Her and I are great friends. She's a five-time Olympian, Olympic gold and silver bronze medalist. But when what was incredible, I mean, she painted her shoes gold. She had everything around her was gold. It was just this idea that she was so focused. She had a gold volleyball. In fact, she signed one and brought it here as a gift. Her and a beautiful life partner, Sarah, are here right now. And right now she has a new goal. She's actually part of a network marketing company, and their highest level is a platinum level. So her new catchphrase is "Gold is old," and she has now painted platinum shoes. And she is completely focused on becoming a platinum level, which is the highest level of her network marketing company. But, you know, some of your breakthrough goals may be getting a master's or a doctorate, opening up your own spa, getting elected president of a union or professional association, you know, hosting your own radio show, you know, achieving, so really a goal that would help you achieve, in such a way that's breakthrough, you know, that 50-yard throwing pass, the first game, first play of the game, right? And then the idea, you know, I got a good friend, Jimmy Smith, and, you know, this guy has made $32 million. He's a butcher for 40 years, where he made $400,000 in 40 years. And this guy is a master at goal setting. And, you know, he made $32 million with his two daughters in 10 or 11 years. But if I go up to him, he's 86 right now. If I walk up to him and slip my hand in his top pocket of his shirt, his affirmations and goals are always inside his shirt pocket. So he reads them all the time. And he says a daily prayer every single day. So once you've written down your goals, both the large ones and the small ones, the next step then is to activate the creative powers of the subconscious mind by reviewing your list two or three times a day. That's right. But two or three times. And read them out loud. Read them passionately with enthusiasm. You know, close your eyes. And remember what Jim Carrey said. He'd drive up to Mulholland Drive and visualize everything that was going to happen to him. Close your eyes and picture each goal as if it were already accomplished. It's so amazing, right? What would you feel if you've already accomplished it? Let's get that feeling going. And then what your brain does, this is where the subconscious mind jumps in. The brain wants to close the gap between the current reality and the vision of your goal by constantly repeating and visualizing your goal as if it's already achieved. You'll be increasing what is called structural tension. And this will increase your motivation. It's going to stimulate your creativity, heighten your awareness of resources, and help you achieve your goal. So you may want to get some 3x5 index cards and have them by your bed. You may have them, carry them around with you. You can put it, screensavers today on your phone. When you open up your phone, your goal can be right there. So put a list of goals in your into your daily planner or calendar system. You can create the pop-up, like I said, on your screensaver or your computer. But the objective here is just to keep those goals in front of you everywhere. And that's why I have a vision board in my bathroom. And then you may want to create a goal book. And that's a great thing to do, is actually have a book of goals. And, you know, you can put pictures in there and you have one goal per page. And it could be like, you could have, if you're smart about it, you're going to have lots of goals. And you'll know which one you're working towards. But to get to a great area in your life, there's not one thing that's going to change. There's a lot of things that are going to change. But you may have one goal very specifically pushing you, but around it will be a lot of other goals. There's nothing wrong with that. I know people have 100 goals going at once. But carry the most important ones in your wallet or your purse or, you know, on your screensaver of your phone, right? I know with Jack Canfield, when he met Mark Vick, and Jack and I are business partners, but when he met Mark Victor Hansen, him and Jack had the same technique, because Jack had worked with Clement Stone, and Clement Stone had taught Jack to write down the most important goal on the back of his business card and carry it in his wallet. And, you know, every time he opened his wallet, he'd see it, and he would just be reminded of that. And so when they got together, Jack, on the back of his business card, which he has, by the way, in a frame right behind his desk, it says, "I'm so happy selling 1.5 million copies of Chicken Soup for the Soul by December 30th, 1994. And then Jack and Mark signed each other's cards and carried them. Now, imagine this. The publisher laughed his ass off at him. He said he was crazy, but he went on to sell 1.3 million copies of the book by the target date. And some people say, well, he's 200,000 short, but perhaps, but not, it's not that big a thing, a big difference, right? But he went on to sell over 8 million copies in over 30 languages, right? Lou Holtz says this. He says, if you're bored with life, if you don't get up every morning with a burning desire to do things, you don't have enough goals. And that's the idea of, you know, having a lot of goals going on. And there's so many stories of great people who have a lot of goals going on. And I have quite a few going on right now. And, but there's eight primary goals, eight major goals. And within the eight major goals are lots of small ones, right? And I mean, you think about Bruce Lee is another great example of that. If you go to the Planet Hollywood in New York City, there's a letter hanging on the wall that Bruce Lee wrote to himself. And it's dated January 9th, 1970. And it says, by 1980, I'll be the best known Oriental movie star in the United States and will have secured $10 million. Funny, eh? The numbers keep coming up. I got that number now. And in return, I will give the very best acting I could possibly give every single time I'm in front of a camera, and I will live in peace and harmony, right? And imagine, you know, when his, some of his movies, like, what was it? I can't remember the name of it. Enter the Dragon, you know, it's just a massive success. It made millions and millions and millions of dollars, right? So again, you know, we talk about that idea of writing yourself a check is one way. And I often have a check. It's not there right now because we're renovating our home, but I actually will pin it right above my bed. So when I'm laying in bed, I see it on the ceiling. And then the last thing I want to really talk about is this idea of considerations, fears, and roadblocks. The three obstacles really are those consideration, fears, roadblocks, you know. So if you said, hey, listen, like for me, if I got this $10 million a month goal, right? So what I may, my mind will wander to automatically is like, well, I'm going to have to work really, really hard, or, you know, I won't have time for my kids, or, you know, Jen's going to be really upset because I'm so focused, you know, all these different things. Or, you know, I just don't know enough people to be able to achieve that. I can't see how I could possibly, you know, mobilize, things that will be so impactful that people would really feel benefit to being involved with me. I mean, all those kinds of things, those are considerations. And the sort of the reasons why I shouldn't attempt the goal, and why it's not possible. But surfacing the considerations by noticing them is just a good thing. And that's really a trigger of why most people stop themselves anyway. And that's how I would have stopped myself in the past with these considerations, right? And then fears, a fear of rejection, a fear of failure, a fear of making a fool of myself. You know, you might be afraid of getting emotionally or physically hurt. You might be afraid that you're going to lose all the money that you've saved because you have to invest it. The fears, they're sort of a usual part of the whole process again, right? And it's like roadblocks as well. Maybe no one wants to join the project. I can't, you know, get my team excited about it. That's what happened with Jack Canfield when he wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. One of his team actually left saying it was a ridiculous idea. No one was going to buy into it. He didn't want to put the energy in it. And he lost one of his key guys. And they laughed at him, said it was useless, right? But roadblocks, you know, maybe you don't have the budget to move forward with some of your ideas. And roadblocks might be that you state that they're like maybe a law that's preventing you from doing something, which means that you're going to have to get sort of governmental change. And so roadblocks are simply obstacles that the world throws at you, and they're there, right? And most people see these things, these fears and roadblocks, you know, as limitations, as stop signs. But for people who succeed, they just realize it's a normal part of exactly how we move forward. You just learn to deal with them. You know, a goal that's big enough to stretch you and grow you, you know, if you haven't set one of those, then you're not going to feel this type of feeling, the roadblock, the fears coming through your mind, it's not going to happen. So, you need to set some bigger goals and see where they come up. And really what happens is those things are where the personal growth comes in, is that we really want to know that there's going to be a journey of personal growth. And so in saying that, and then that's going to lead us to getting there, right? Is actually achieving these things. Quinn Sullivan, my finger slipped there a little bit fast. Eh? So mastery is the goal then. You know, you want to set a goal that is big enough that in the process of achieving it, you become someone worth becoming. So mastery, so it's not the material rewards. It's not this house, honestly. It's the personal development, because I know that what's happened to me right now is means that I could lose everything tomorrow. And I know, like Donald Trump, you know, when he lost everything, he was able to become even wealthier the second time because of the skills, who you are inside, right? Nothing ever is going to stand in the way anymore. So to achieve a big goal, you're going to have to become a bigger person, develop new skills, new attitudes, new capabilities, right? And here's the last part. The very last thing is just do it. You know, make a list of the goals you want to accomplish. Make sure they're measurable. How much by when? Goals for every aspect of your vision. Decide on a breakthrough goal, write it on the back of your business card, put it in your purse or your wallet, right? Then create a list. Try and create a list of 100 goals that you want to achieve before you die. 100 goals before you die, right? Being clear about your purpose, your vision, and goals will put you in the top 3% of the world's achievers just by being clear. But to move into the top 1% of achievers, all you have to do is write them down, the specific steps that will help you accomplish these goals on a daily to-do list. Then make sure you take those actions. Think of it this way. If you are clear on where you're going and you take several steps in that direction every single day, eventually you will definitely get there. And as I sit here looking out on this beautiful lake and I'm filled with gratitude, I am excited for you to sort of maybe you've learned one small thing from just reviewing goal setting. But those of you that aren't doing it, remember, this is a critical piece of the puzzle. And it's worth taking a few days to do this well, like your vision board. Have that done. Let your vision board be in alignment with your goals. Let the two marry together so you have this visual reference in front of you. Make sure you carry a check around or stick it over your bed so every night as you close your eyes, you think about that. So that being said, don't forget, it's time to crank it up. Crank up your life. Crank up your relationships. Crank up your intimacy. Squeeze out the juice of every second because you deserve it. And we'll definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.